Welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Fiona. And welcome to issue 2 of our conception to production summer season.
Hooray! Yay. Get your cocktails out.
Exactly.
Not those ones.
Sarah, a weekly insight into how podcasts are conceived, developed and produced.
Bizarre. And today we have the amazing Pacific Obadiah, who I was lucky enough to speak to in amongst all his hard work and studying. And his podcast is Lake Clarity. And if you haven't heard that, you must jump on their website and all the links he gives you, and you can find in our show notes, are there for you to explore and enjoy.
Yeah, and if you would like to get in touch with us about this podcast, then please do email us at podcast@audiodramaproduction.com.
Hooray! And once you've rinsed our websites for all the information you can get, then please hop on over to the podcasthost.com website, which should also give you valuable insight into how to make, create and further your podcasting careers.
Absolutely. And in the meantime, here's Pacific. Enjoy.
Hello, I have the wonderful Pacific Obadiah here. Hello, Pacific.
Hey there, how are you doing?
I'm very, very well. I'm very, very hot. It's a very beautiful, sunny day. Whereabouts are we speaking to you today? Where are you from?
So I am from Denver, Colorado. It's a nice, warm 92 degrees today.
Wow, that sounds gorgeous.
Scorching. Beautiful blue skies.
You're talking to me from your cocktail on the Lilo in the pool, yes? Amazing.
Yeah. More like the corner in my bedroom with my very, very makeshift sound barrier.
Fantastic. Which is a little... Oh, well, we'll talk further about your technical aspects. Yeah. But yes, so can you just explain for our listeners, because obviously we know, but they possibly might not, and if they've been hiding under a rock. So who are you and what do you do in the world of podcasting?
Sure. So my name's, of course, Pacific Obadiah, and I'm the writer and producer, and I do a little directing for Lake Clarity, which is a immersive horror audio drama. And basically the setup for that is, you know, Larissa, she's my co-director, we'll meet every Monday, sit in the studio, actually down on our campus. That's where we record everything. We were fortunate enough to, like, get a setup there with our student media office. Yeah,
super.
Since we're all, you know, university students. But yeah, mm-hmm. So every Monday we meet down at the studio. We get all of our actors in. They'll come in, you know, do one rough read-through of the entire script. You know, they get everything a week in advance, but they'll read it. We record that first read-through. You know, we'll go over notes, comments, if we have any tweaks for them, if they have any questions for us or about the scripts, we go over all of that. And then we record it again. And, you know, Larissa will kind of take charge with most of that stuff, directing everything, you know, giving actors actions and ideas to help execute the story. And then once that's all said and done, I take it, put about 10 hours into editing each episode from, you know, cutting it down, mixing and merging everything, and then, you know, finding sound effects and then putting all of those sound effects into the show. And then we release it the week after. So we always record 2 weeks in advance for all of our episodes.
Right. Well, that sounds amazing. So just to get to the how you guys even set up in the first place. So where did you and your core team meet? Is it at a university where you're at currently, or were you friends before?
Actually, yeah, I met everyone through university. So I've worked with student media since I was a freshman. I'm going into my junior year now. Yeah, I'm just about to turn 20. still pretty young. Yeah,
I remember turning 20. You were a little while ago, lad. I could be your mother, which is frightening. Anyway, that aside, yeah, sorry, carry on.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely one of the younger people in our production podcast group. I've worked with student media for a while, and I went to my supervisors and was like, hey, I'd really like to do this. And they're like, okay, sure. Yeah, do whatever you want. So I first recorded Lake Clarity last summer, the summer of 2016. Mm-hmm. And for that, I had a bunch of friends, all of which were not actors, but, you know, I loved and cherished them, and they volunteered their time mm-hmm. to me. And yeah, we recorded the first episode, and it was rough. It was so very rough. So, you know, I kind of sat there for a while. I had the first episode. I had some sound effects for it. You know, I think maybe like 15 sound effects total between like some nature and bird noises and like door creaking.
Yes. Staple audio, yes.
And I didn't really touch it for about 6 months. And then in December, I met Larissa. I'm a theater major, uh-huh. and she's also a theater major. So we just met through, you know, kind of mutual friends and whatnot. And I got a chance to guest speak for the theater fraternity on campus. And I was like, hey, here's what audio dramas are, podcasts, and here's how you can make one, and blah, blah, blah. Like, we have a studio on campus. You can do it for free. It's great.
Amazing. I want to go. I want to start.
It's a nice little setup.
Sign me up.
So she reached out to me, and, you know, I was like, well, you know, I have the script. I'd love to do something with it, but, you know, it is what it is. Now, I'd been ready to let Lake Clarity die at that point. But she's like, no, let's do this. So we sat and over Christmas break, rewrote the entire show. And then first week of class, we put out a audition notice on our theater bulletin board. And it said, hey, interested in voice acting? Come to this room at this day. Sign up for a time here. And I think we had about 35 kids show up.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
Right. And we had them all, you know, audition in groups of five so we could see how they'd read with one another, because, you know, we like having everyone in the same studio at the same time so that way we can, you know, really get a sense of the action in the scene and feed off of one another.
Luxury, yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I got all of my actors through that. And then just by, you know, continuing on, you know, a lot of my actors for season one have come back to help with season two, you know, whether they want to return to help act or, you know, they've shown interest in help, you know, producing and editing the podcast. So, you know, it's like we started to make like a nice little tight-knit family. And that's basically how I met everyone, at least for my crew.
Where did the idea for Lake Clarity come from? Like, what is the whole nub of that starting off?
This is a very closely guarded secret, but...
You can just whisper it. Nobody's listening. It's just you and me.
It is based very, 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 very loosely on a camping trip I took my senior year. It, you know, Lake Clarity season one, at the heart of it, is a coming of age story. Going from, you know, graduating high school into my freshman year of college, I struggled to, like, you know, really branch out and meet people. You know, because I'm on a commuter campus, so like people bust down to campus, go to class, and then they leave. You know, there's not too many people like staying on campus. You know, it's a very untraditional campus.
Right.
So, you know, I was feeling some freshman blues.
Surely that's not possible.
Right, yeah. But yeah. You know, so kind of what inspired that was, you know, really saying goodbye to a lot of my high school friends. Sure, they come back in the summers, but, you know, you lose. Yeah, you know, it changes a lot.
Yeah, it's a dish.
You know, sometimes people fade away. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they stay strong. You know, I just hung out with an old high school friend last night, celebrated the 4th of July.
Of course. happy celebrating all that is liberal liberty. Yes, from the British.
But yeah, you know, so it was very inspired by kind of my, you know, coming of age and just, you know, like letting go of these older friends and kind of coming into this new part of life. And the other half of it was... I just really like scary stories. I should specify. Scary movies, scary stories, the No Sleep podcast, terrify me. Can't listen to them past, like, sunset. Won't do it. Can't do it. I am a wuss. Oh, my God. I am so easily terrified by everything, which is why I had to make a horror podcast. Because it's just this, like...
Face your fears.
Exactly. It's this little part of me that's like, okay... This would scare the hell out of me. So this is going to scare someone else. So I got this.
And you're alone editing this.
Oh my God.
On your own. And scaring yourself. Absolutely alone.
Yeah, you know, downside of being a student is I do a lot of my editing between, like, you know, 11 p.m. and 2 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And when I guest edit for Creepy or, yeah, even for, like, Clarity, I'll just, like, be listening and I'll hear... you know, the screams of my friends and actors as they die and get crushed. And I'm like, oh God, what have I done? It's horrible. I love it. I can't stop doing it. So, you know, it's my hatred and fear and love of horror and, you know, just what makes, you know, the genre what it is. You know, this is something I hope everyone's noticed, but Lake Clarity is so over the top riddled with cliches and tropes. You know, there's a nerdy guy, there's a jock.
Oh, that's why I love it. My husband is a massive horror fan, and I've been forced to watch things between fingers and behind pillows that I really didn't ever want to see. So, yeah, no, I've noticed a lot of the little nods here and go, yes.
Right. Awesome. And I'm
and I love
definitely.
That.
And, you know, one of the things we notice is, like, there's almost a surprising lack of that real traditional sense of horror, like that campy B-side, five teens in a wood face terrible danger and dun dun dun.
Yeah, there's always room for that.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, and, there's lots of horror podcasts out there, but, you know, there wasn't anything that quite scratched that itch for us.
No, you're right, and it is that whole younger cast as well, which I absolutely love. That's what's refreshing for me. I'm not saying that it's like loads of old fogies, because there's obviously a plethora of all sorts. But yours did stand out as having that sort of fresh, young voiced cast, which I really love. I really love that, and that's one of the things that made you stand out for me, anyway.
Definitely, and I'm glad to hear it helps us stand out. But yeah, you know, it's just my goal to really kind of bring some of those traditional horror elements that I hated as a kid into, you know, this new medium that is still experiencing a lot of growth and kind of, you know, getting those things. Because, you know, there's like Cabin in the Woods and you know, the Blair Witch Project. None of those yet for audio drama. So yeah, it's me and my team's goal to, you know, set out and make those.
Yep, awesome. Well, there's definitely space for it. You do it so well.
As far as getting into audio dramas themselves, the first person I actually met was Travis.
Oh, amazing. Mr. Travis of Vengroff.
Yep, yes. Travis Vengroff of the Liberty Podcast. Wonderful show.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So where did you meet?
So it was actually on a Reddit message board. I was searching around because I don't know why. And this was actually last summer, shortly after I recorded that first episode of Lake Clarity. But he had a post. He's like, hey, looking for writers. And I was like, oh, I write. Why not? So I got in contact with him, and he commissioned me to write three episodes for Tales from the Tower. And amazing. The first one actually just came out 2 weeks ago, I think. 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. That was great. Yeah, good work.
Bang up job just putting it all together and making it kick ass. And yeah, I think the other two are coming out in the near future, sometime July, August-ish, I believe. But yeah, so I met him first, and that's how I got my first gig writing, and that's how I really got my foot in the door with the audio drama community. You know, just meeting him, and, you know, he kind of helped introduce me to a few other people, and then from there I just kind of stumbled my way into everything else, you know. I got invited to this group or this forum, all these little places where I got the opportunity to network with more and more people. And, you know, from there I've met other wonderful people like, you know, James, oh gosh, I always butcher his last name. Oliva?
Oliva, yes. Yes, James Oliva. Yes, he's everywhere.
I was getting worried to say it. But yeah, he actually just reached out, or not reached out, but, you know, he put out an audition notice, and I was like, hey, my team would love to audition for that. So, you know, I had a bunch of my actors from season one of Lake Clarity come into the studio, record some reels, and send it off to him.
Yeah. So that's great. So as a community, you've kind of been able to nurture them, and they'd be able to put them into other projects.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic.
And yeah, that's because we're students, you know, this is how I can market it to my superiors in the student media office and say, like, hey, this is why it's good for students. You know, like, yes, come join the cast. You can get voice acting gigs over here and over there. And, oh, maybe you can do some stuff with this show and with this person. Yeah, so it's a great little community on campus.
Yeah, that's superb. And I guess you've got the luxury that some others don't, that all your cast are with you when you record. And I'd like you to talk, if you can, about the kind of process you've gone through when you are actually doing that. So say you talked briefly about doing your table read and things, but how much input do these actors get from you guys as the kind of production team when you're working in the studio?
First, I guess I should probably describe the studio a bit. It's it's a traditional radio studio, so we have two rooms, the control room and the recording booth. And in the booth, we have a three microphone setup, and then in the control room, we have another microphone as well as a big old control board, and we record directly onto Audition. Yeah, you know, throughout the show, for those table reads, we actually just put them right into the booth and just have them sit there and record everything. And, you know, just kind of go through their lines. You know, if they have a flub or whatnot, we just tell them, you know, just keep going, it's all right, you know. Go back, start at the top of the line. So Larissa and I try to be as hands-off as possible. Yeah, when our actors are reading, you know, we've done our part to write the show, and yeah, I'll do my part later to edit and produce the show. So we rely heavily on our actors to, you know, read off of one another, to come in with their own ideas of who the characters should be and have the potential to be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we are there if they have questions. You know, sometimes we'll have, like, a typo that gets through the editing process.
Right.
Usually our role as directors stops at the point where, you know, if it's not a question about the script itself, or you know, about the character, like if they need backstory, we all provide that. You know, things that don't make it into the show itself, like, you know, which character is gay, or which character has this kind of family or this upbringing, or which character maybe loves this other character.
Unrequited love.
So we'll feed them the background information to help them build the basis, but from that, you know, aside from pronunciation, we just let
kind of their ballpark.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that's great. Is for, you know, creative energy that an actor brings, I think, can often be, yeah, exactly what you're after. I mean, I'm sure that there are cases where there is a lot of work to be done, and so on. But yeah, and regards to working in the studio, so you obviously have got, you know, an idea of the mechanics behind all that already, having your experience you have. But I mean, what top tips would you give people going into that for the first time? What kind of preparation do you do going into the studio setup yourself?
Warm-ups. Always warm up. You know, we all have theater backgrounds, so warm-ups are our life. You know, we'll tongue twisters, lip warm-ups, because you know, no matter how much time and effort you put into the show, into writing it, into editing it, what I believe will make or break the show is the actors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want your actors to feel confident in themselves. You want them to be ready and warmed up to go. So, you know, we take about 15, 20 minutes every day before anything happens. You know, we all say hi, we like chat and whatnot because we're all friends. But yeah, we'll just take 15 minutes just go through a bunch of warm-ups, make sure everyone is included and, you know, brings their own warm-up.
Yep, get rid of the baggage of the day.
exactly. Yeah, you know, just clear yourself. Yeah, so I mean, as far as day-to-day, that's probably the biggest part of the day is that, and making sure they feel confident and ready with themselves and each other.
And have you ever had to do a recall of actors when you've gone through the editing process and things aren't quite right, or have you always been lucky that you've got exactly what you want from your
studio
session?
This is probably the biggest downside for us being students and recording once a week is, well, we are always together. We are on a much tighter deadline because we just have a straight 2-hour slot every Monday to record. Right. And, you know, usually for that first read through and then that second more polished read through, that takes about almost the entirety of the 2 hours. So if we do have any flubs or mistakes, a lot of those we'll try and go over very, very quickly, either at the end of recording. So, you know, we've recorded for 2 hours, I'll listen to it real fast. And if we notice any flubs, like while we're recording or in that kind of quick going over the audio, then we'll try and do those really quickly. Otherwise, we reserve basically the first 10 minutes after warm-ups to do any re-recordings. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely been a few things where we'll have a flub or two that, you know, makes it into the final episode. I don't know if I should bring any specific ones up. Yeah, there's a few.
Significant spot.
There's usually it's just pronunciation, but yeah, sometimes someone will kind of flub a word or like switch the order of them. It's happened a few times throughout the series, but as much as we want it to be perfect, there comes a point where, you know, Larissa and I reach a point where it's like, okay, we can improve this. We've already spent our 2 hours and 10 minutes working at, or recording this episode.
Yeah.
We just have to move on. We will record if it's a big thing, but for those smaller things, you know, if it's small enough, we'll just kind of skirt it by.
And as a sort of, I guess you're the one that pulls everyone together, it seems, with Arissa. Can you cite any problems of, like, from the conception and idea you've had through this development and then picking it up again after a long time? Can you cite any problems that you've had that other people might come across that you've kind of overcome?
Probably
worked
the
around?
Biggest problem we've hit, aside from lack of time will kill you. Actually, you know, here I have two. First, sound effects. Brutal. If you can,
right.
Find your sound effects in advance. I think that is where I've probably spent most of my time searching. Like, you know, in episode 4 or 5 of season 1, we have a deer screeching as it's, like, dying and being slaughtered and whatnot.
Yes.
I searched for that sound effect.
Yes, not one you'd find.
Hours. Five total hours. Just like over the course of days, like,
what else can it be
between
called classes?
Yeah. Between classes, I'd be like, you know, okay, I haven't tried this website yet. Oh, okay, here's another website I can try. And just finally I found one. So, you know, it's good to have those resources out there. So if you can, find your sound effects early.
And what are your top go-to sites for sound effects currently then? Where have you
found
them?
If you're a student, again, I have a lot of perks for being a student. Sonis.com, S-O-N-N-I-S-S, I think. They have some student discounts, and they have some really premium sound effects. So for a lot of my monsters, for some of my reoccurring sound effects, I usually go to them. But honestly, freesound.org is where I go for like 80% of my sound effects. So many.
Yeah, have a good hunt. We should challenge people, shouldn't we, to find a sound and see if you find it first after this podcast.
If you can find a deer dying and screeching,
what can we find?
Props to you.
Yes, within 5 hours, you beat Pacific. Go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and those are for like the more common ones. There's been a few like really obscure ones, like I need a page turning 3 times and tearing slightly on the 2nd time. Yo, it just like an oddly specific thing, or like I need these 5 keys typed in this order, so you know people know they hit you know Q. U-E-R-T-Y, or, you know, like some secret code or whatever.
So you're getting really specific
Really specific.
And I like that diligence. That's awesome.
Right. For those kinds of things, you know, I have a Zoom H, what is this, 5? I believe it's a 5. And that's what I'll use to record my own sound effects. That's what I use to record my intros and outros as well. You know, go into my closet and shut the door and stand there for 10 minutes recording the same 3 lines over and over.
And how do you market your podcast? Because I have seen it quite prevalently in quite a few places, but I guess I do go to a lot of audio drama places specifically because I love it. So yeah, what was your thought process in the starting point? So launching Lake Clarity, what did you do first? And can you talk us through the steps of marketing Lake
Clarity? So first I made a terrible, terrible choice. And I made our logo like right when Larissa and I first started writing the show, which is great. I just didn't make any of the social media platforms until maybe like a month before we launched, maybe a week before we launched. So I got a really late start on it. And if you look at, you know, James's What's the Frequency, you know, he already has like 130 followers at this point. And, you know, he hasn't launched the first episode yet. He's only launched a trailer. So I think that's like one of my big regrets. But getting out there as soon as possible, as soon as you have a show, as soon as you have the first episode recorded, even if it's not going to air for another month, that's the time to start promoting. You know, just retweeting other people. You know, Audio Drama Sunday has what's helped us most.
Yes, good hashtag to look at if
wonderful,
you're new to this.
Wonderful hashtag. But yeah, Audio Drama Sunday is, I think, where we've, you know, probably networked with most shows, you know. Whether it's reblogging like the Greater Boston or Liberty or Creepy or, you know, a million other shows that I love, reblogging other people or retweeting other people, you know, they'll like retweet you back. Like everyone loves to just promote each other, and it's a whole day dedicated towards that. I think that's, you know, probably the biggest one.
And that's how you get more listeners, isn't it? Basically, you're just then hopefully people will find that your kind of tone or something about it has some crossbreeding and they like that. So they'll hopefully jump on your show too. Yeah.
You know, we just got like, it was a tweet from the No Sleep podcast. They were like, you know, promoting our Kickstarter, which is going on right now. And that day alone, we got like, you know, 10 new followers. Which is odd for a Tuesday, you know, a Tuesday afternoon. That's like one of our slowest days. So, I mean, you know, the smallest, you know, retweet from a show, the 400, 500, 5,000 people who follow that show will all see that tweet in their timeline. And they'll all go like, oh, I haven't heard of this one yet. You know, it's it's like curiosity that brings people in.
Oh, people are hungry for more, aren't they?
But, you know, it helps a lot that I've been an avid listener for the last 2 years of my life. Like, you know, I got into Night Vale when it first started coming out. Same for We're Alive. Yeah, you know, those were the shows that reeled me in. The Leviathan Chronicles way back when.
Pinnacle shows. Yeah.
So yeah, I've been listening for a while. So like, I've been following, you know, like r/audio dramas on Reddit, or, you know, like certain podcast pages on Facebook. You know, it's getting into those groups, you know, and there's tons of them. If you make a search, you know, on Google or on Facebook, you'll find tons and tons of groups, you know. There's like the Podcast That We Love group on Facebook, the Audio Drama Appreciation group, there's a Discord, there's a Slack fan chat, there's tons and tons of platforms. And if you're on all of those platforms and you just drop a link just once or twice, there'll be 100-500 new people who will come and listen to your show and check it out, you know.
Definitely so, worth it for networking. Good.
Launch early and be everywhere is my like two biggest pieces of advice.
And how did you sort of get the actual podcast up and running from there with your branding then? What processes did you go to get it out, and where have you put it specifically to get to your listeners?
So we published through Libsyn, I think that's how you say it. I've never heard anyone else say it out loud, so, you know.
There you go. You're the first one to ever say it.
But yeah, so that's very, like, kind of back-end stuff. But that's what we used to publish all of our shows. It's really easy. You upload a file, put in a description, and then you submit to iTunes, submit to, like, Google Play and Stitcher, and then from there, everyone else will start picking it up and putting on their platforms. So that's the easiest way to publish. And they have some really cheap options too. You know, I think their lowest plan is $5. And, you know, the plan I'd recommend is 15 a month. That gives you a nice amount of storage if you're doing, you know, longer episodes, or if you're uploading weekly like we did. And it also gives you like a nice bunch of statistics, so you can track how many people are downloading your show. Yeah, if you upgrade a bit more, you can track where they're listening from. And on top of that, you know, it's just so easy to publish to like 20 different platforms through just clicking one button. So Libsyn is definitely the way I'd go for that. Yeah.
Super. And how easy did you find it to upload your things to those kind of places? Is there any issues that you came across, or people you had to consult for information? So how did you get those launched?
I'm fairly tech savvy, so I didn't have too hard of a time with it. So I'm very fortunate in that regards. But yeah, it's honestly, for us, it's always been kind of a one-click thing. Yeah, once you get everything set up, from there it's kind of a set and forget. You know, you can just keep doing it every week. But yeah, getting it set up is always the hardest part.
Sure.
But yeah, once you get it onto iTunes and onto YouTube and onto any platform that you want it on, from there, it's easy to keep going.
And are you obsessed with your download numbers?
Oh my God, I check them 5 times a day.
Like, come on, what is it right now? What is it right
now? Oh gosh, let me click and check. It's honestly, it's like the first thing I check every morning.
Yeah, exciting.
It's an obsession.
Yeah,
and it's always the last thing I check at night. Or at 6 o'clock, because that's when stats reset for me.
That's like the buzz of the live audience thing that you're not getting with doing something live, isn't it? I think it is that knowing that many people have listened is so exciting. Yeah.
You know, for like the 400 followers we have on Twitter, you know, there's 1,000 more that might be listening to the show. You know, it's such a small part. But at the beginning of this month, or just at the end of June, we hit 50,000 downloads. As of today.
Yes, which is awesome. We should play fireworks and excitement and people cheering and like jumping in delight. Awesome statistics.
Yeah, as of right now.
Did you do some celebrating?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we had a fish taco party at my house to celebrate 50,000. Yeah, it was a blast. But yeah, today we're up to 700.
Awesome.
700 downloads as so far, and we have about another 5 hours before those stats reset for the day. Yeah, and
That's
I know not a lot of shows right now are, you know, as open about their stats as as we are, as we try to be.
Why do you think that is?
You know, that's a great question. There's no real comparison out there, so I don't know if 700 downloads for a day is good. I know my biggest downloads, we got 1,500 in one day, so you know, 700, that's like a nice midday peak. Our lowest is 200. You know, we haven't hit below 200 in a few months now. So, you know, I can gauge like just based on my own statistics what's good and what's not. But, you know, if you look at King Falls AM, they just hit 4 million total downloads, right? And
yeah, that's amazing.
Absolutely.
That's astounding, isn't it, when you think about it? Yeah, yeah.
But it's a great show. Yeah, it's a wonderful show. I love it. Yeah. They definitely have earned those 4 million.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
beer
so,
by beer.
Right? But yeah, so, you know, there's not a lot of comparison out there. So I feel like some people are kind of scared to really put out their numbers because they don't know what is and isn't good. You know, I based my first 40 downloads off of King Falls' 2 million at that point. When I had 40, they had 2 million. I was like, oh God, I'm never going to get up there. But, you know, it's baby steps.
Well, this is it, you know, and it's building your audience, it's getting that reputation, and it is becoming part of different communities that then will pass that on and get you more and more listeners, yeah. And how much interaction do you get with your listeners?
We get a pretty fair amount. Twitter is our biggest platform. We just did, we're just shy of like 450, I think. But, you know, we have a nice healthy audience both on Facebook and on Tumblr, too. And I think Tumblr is where we get the most audience interaction. That's where we get, you know, people making fan art for us. We get, you know, gift sets and whatnot, which is awesome. It makes me and the whole cast, like, go crazy. lots of crazy fan conspiracies there, too. Right now, the one that's going around is Allie is Alive, Season 2. Who knows, you know?
Exciting.
But then Twitter is kind of more the platform where we'll get, you know, people being introduced to the show for the first time. You know, we'll have people going, like, oh, I just heard about you, I'm gonna listen now, and we'll send them like a cute ghost emoji. You know, it's our goal to interact with every fan who reaches out to us. If they if they mention us in a tweet, if they reblog a conspiracy, you know, we try to follow everyone who shares our content, we try to follow everyone who creates, you know, fan content for us, everyone who's like a part of our community actively. Those are the people that we want to, like, you know, reward and follow and, like, keep up with, because maybe they'll make more art for us, maybe they'll make art for other shows.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what they say, isn't it? Be nice to people on your way up because you might meet them on your way down or something.
Absolutely. And, I mean, I think, you know, that's the best way to build a loyal fan base and a loyal audience is to have those people who like to engage with you because you engage with them back. You know, if you send us a tweet and we never respond, you're not going to want to tweet us again. You're going to want to tweet King Falls, who's on top of tweeting everyone back, or The Tunnels, who kicks ass at, you know, crazy gifts. You know, those are the shows, you know, the people behind those shows, caring for the people who listen to those shows. That's what makes a good, loyal fan base.
See, and that's what's amazing is the absolute passion that drives you, it seems, as well as a few of the others. A lot of the other people who come across
definitely,
audio
lots
drama.
Of passion.
And it's only three people. Three other people have passion. No, it's lovely. That's what's brilliant, is that there is that drive behind it. Like, I want people to see this project and listen and share, because I've put so much into it, and look at what all these amazing people have created. So, yeah, I love that. I love that there is that. And, you know, a lot of things that you perhaps can get involved in, people get lethargic about promoting or doing stuff. But I haven't seen any of that. So long may that mentality reign.
definitely. And I mean, you know, that would be my advice for anyone, you know, getting into the whole game of making audio dramas. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're proud of what you're putting out there, if you're proud to say this is mine, do it. Mm-hmm. There's a wonderful show that I've been following since episode 3, I think, called Friends of the Void. Uh-huh. And they're a pretty small show. You know, they haven't gotten as much traction and whatnot. But every second week of the month, they put out a new episode. Mm-hmm. And they share stuff. And they continue making this stuff that they're proud of, no matter how many people are listening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because they keep on doing it, because they keep on hitting their releases, and because they are proud of their product, they're getting more and more followers every day. Super. And they're starting to pick up, you know, whether it's a slow burn or it's a fast one. If you're on top of it, people will come to you.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? And a lot of people who I've seen recently who finished seasons have noticed a massive spike after releasing that last one, where I guess seemingly people have been like waiting. I don't want to just have one episode. I want to have them all at the same time. And so, yeah, perhaps that's part of the culture, because I'm guilty of that, actually.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to a few things that I really want to.
For sure.
I just kind of want them all at the same time, because there's that disappointment when something's finished and there's going to be no more. Yeah. I can't cope with that.
I mean, you know, quite honestly, that's exactly why my team and I put out our supercut of season one. You know, it's just, what is it, 7 episodes? Yeah, it's episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, and 8, because episode 5 is a spinoff. But, you know, we put that out after the season wrapped up, a few weeks after it wrapped up. Put a few extra tweaks in there, you know, polished it just a little bit. Yeah. But we've seen more downloads on that episode than on episode 1 or 2, or even our trailer, you know, the first few episodes that people download. Our supercut has twice as many of any episode.
Supercut, I like it. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Good plan.
Yeah, you go. It's a nice bite-sized bit. It's, you know, an hour and 30 minutes or so, hour and 20 minutes. You can listen to the full show without interruptions, without the intros and the outros. It got a lot of that audience that's like, oh, the show's up and it's over now. Well, now I can listen to it in one sitting. I can binge it. People love binging things, you know. You want to kind of cater to that audience.
Yeah, they're out there. I am guilty, raising my hand, being one. And I'm just kind of taking a sort of sidestep into your editing hat. Sure. Job. So you talked earlier, you record straight onto Audition. And I guess you're saying, you're being a tech guy, you've kind of got a lot of those skills already. How did you come into knowing about the kind of audio editing side of things?
This is going to sound horrible. I have had absolutely zero real training in Audition or anything.
And then you're amazing.
Oh, I don't know about
Kudos.
That.
Imagine if you'd had lots of training then. Astounding. No, good work.
I mean, honestly, this is it's why Audition's kind of my tool of choice. And any Adobe product, I feel like they're the kind of things I can go into and just kind of play around with. And after I play around with it enough, I'll kind of get the hang of it. That's how I learned a lot of Premiere Pro and After Effects and Photoshop and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And is that just through trial and error, you say you've learned it? Or have you looked up videos or what?
How so have much you learned trial and error.
Usually
I'll do video tutorials, but yeah, a lot of it is just kind of like, I have like our Lake Clarity banner. It's very simple. It's just text over a forest that I got from, you know, a public domain website, and I tinted it green. And that took me probably 2 hours to make the first time I did it. And, you know, I kept tweaking it. I was like, no, this color isn't right. Okay, what's this button do? What's that button do? You know, just playing with it over and over until I got the look I wanted. So, yeah. You know, I'll have an idea in mind and just kind of set out to make it as best I can. For editing, so I first started, you know, editing Lake Clarity back last summer with that, like, small 20-track thing. I don't know if I can call it, like, a pre-episode, or, you know, it's a thing. Yes. Yeah, so that was really, like, my first stab at audio editing. I'd done some video editing, so I kind of knew the gist of, like, splicing, moving, cutting, adding in additional effects and whatnot. But yeah, I took that, cut it down just to the bass, vocals, you know, everything from minute 1 to minute 12 or 20 or whatever. And then that's kind of where I start playing with things. My process for editing is, I'll listen to it, and as I listen to it, you know, just like a full listen through, I'll kind of jot down, like, okay, well, this sound has to happen because this is when they open a door, you know, according to the script. But, you know, here they're out in nature, so how can I make it sound like they're walking out in nature? This is five teens taking a hike, so, you know, it's probably a gravel path. They're in the Rocky Mountains, so, you know, birds chirping, there's going to be a nice tree breeze and whatnot.
I'm there now. I'm out in that open air. Yeah, lovely.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. So it's just, you know, it's having an idea of what that soundscape is. And this has been a big cornerstone for, like, Clarity, but, you know, that's how we aim to make our episodes immersive, is, you know, having all the sound effects that you would expect in the woods or in a cabin or in a creepy bunker. And, you know, you want these sound effects to never be noticed, which seems so counterintuitive, but, you know, you want to put all this effort, all of these hours of finding, tweaking, and fine-tuning these sound effects so that nobody notices them. Because if they stand out, that means you've done something wrong. Unless it should stand out, unless it's a monster roaring, you know.
Sure. Or a deer screeching. It's taken 5 hours to find. Yes.
And a lot of this has changed. Like in episode 1, it was kind of more just, okay, breeze and birds and gravel. And then episode 8, we had room tones, and we had, okay, well, you know, at this moment a chair is gonna creak because this character is leaning back, and then their foot's gonna scuff on the tile, and this and that, and you're just kind of adding and adding and adding, like, you know, picturing it in your mind and finding each sound effect that might occur there.
And you've talked about the equipment you use. What actual are you recording onto?
For most everything, I mean, even for what I'm recording this interview mm-hmm. with, I actually use my Zoom. And even for some of our vocal takes and whatnot, mm-hmm. I'll put my Zoom in the room because we have everyone like around a table. So, you know, they all have like their mm-hmm. microphone that they speak directly into. But the Zoom is kind of a nice microphone to just yes. kind of set there, forget about it, and like let mm-hmm. everyone else talk into it. Yeah, you know? I can help give you an idea of space, like where they are. Zoom's come equipped with two microphones, a left and a right channel, so it kind of gives you a little more depth with that audio.
And have you ever been enticed to move out of the studio to do open air outdoor recording?
I am so glad you asked, because that is one of the first things we talked about with season two yeah. of Lake Clarity, is doing some real recording in a coffee mm-hmm. shop or out in nature and whatnot. You know, the crew and I have been taking a bunch of trips up to Nederland, mm. which is where a majority of the second season will take place. Right. And I don't want to talk too much about it yet, but yeah, it follows, a journalist. So we're going for kind of a more grounded vibe, something kind of akin to, NPR or like Serial or S-Town.
All the cool ones, yeah.
So one of the things to help build immersive... Yeah, yeah. One of the things we want to do to help build immersive soundscapes is go to those places and record, There's nothing more immersive than the thing itself. Sometimes. Sometimes. Sometimes faking is the best way to do
it. This is it. How real is real? Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. Exciting. So there'll be lots of fun challenges with that, yes.
Oh, absolutely. We're very excited to tackle it. Yeah. I'm nervous about it, because Nederland's about an hour drive away from us, and there's a few scenes that we need to record in like certain areas, mm-hmm. So getting the cast up there is going to be a challenge. Okay. I'm sure
logistics,
we'll see.
Yeah, there'll be lots of piggybacks involved. I'm sure.
yep. But yeah, no, whether it's like just going out into like our office space or an mm-hmm. echoey hallway, we are hoping to like kind of take some of the sound effects that we made for season one and get some action into the voices. Because for a majority of the season, our cast was like sitting down or maybe standing in the booth. But yeah, we'd love to get them out there and, actually moving and whatnot and kind of feeling the energy.
Yeah, it's an interesting change of dynamic, isn't it, all round? And I think, it does give you a different aspect of that performance of those lines. So yeah, cool. Look forward to hearing that then. Good stuff.
Yeah, I look forward to crying my eyes out over editing it. It'd be a blast. I'm excited. Yeah,
why not make your life 100% harder just for fun?
Oh, absolutely. And God forbid, someone does something unpredictable in the background and ruins an entire take,
That's going to be so exciting. Yeah, you have to have a blooper reel ready.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
You'd have hecklers definitely. And all sorts. There'll be a screaming deer running through your scene, won't there? And you go, why weren't you here a season ago?
Finally, right? Yeah.
I understand you have, in the last few months, become a part of Fake Crafters Network.
I have.
And I was wondering, just from your perspective, so how did you get involved in that? And what difference has that made to your podcast and you guys as far as development's concerned?
So Fake Crafters is... I'm not required to say this. I should specify this. It's a wonderful network. I love it with all of my heart. It's a lot of really wonderful and really passionate people who are, doing what I'm doing, which mm-hmm. is like making their dream kind of between their day job. But we noticed pretty early on that our biggest bumps and downloads came from shoutouts on other shows. Mm-hmm. So if we got a shout out from Creepy, because we'll guest edit a bunch of their episodes and get a shout out here and there, that gives us a really big bump. Mm-hmm. So the idea behind Fake Crafters is that every week or every new episode you release, you give another member a shout out, mm-hmm. and they'll do the same. So we are now up to 11 shows, I believe.
Right.
I should really know these things. I know. So we're up to 11 shows, and every Sunday, we retweet each other on Audio Drama Sunday, and we give each other shout-outs. Hey, check out Subject Found. Mm-hmm. Hey, check out Theater of Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Hey, check out Sable, And then anytime we release a new episode, at the end of the episode, we'll say, hey, thanks for listening. If you like this show, check out another Fake Crafters show. Mm-hmm. And as far as commitment, that's about where it ends. So for us, it hasn't been that big of a change. Mm-hmm. It's just adding a small thing in our outros and tossing out a few extra tweets every Sunday. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that worked well with us. There's not, like, a gripping commitment. I don't have to pay, like, $50 a week for membership fees or anything, you know.
Yep.
It's just a bunch of us who, you know, chat about donuts and shout each other out.
Well, now you made me hungry. I love the sound of it, and all the podcasts within that I'm very, very fond of in different ways, and I just think it's a great idea, and then slowly I've seen it sort of build, and there's more and more joining, and you know, things like Spotlight on this week from White Noise and all of those kind of things. I think are really lovely and healthy things. I think it's really nice community building out of that too. So kudos. Absolutely. To the Fake Crafters team. So have a look if you haven't already. Just Google Fake Crafters and see what other joys you can find alongside Lake Clarity there. That'd be awesome.
And you can also go to fakecrafters.net. Mm-hmm. We have a full list of our shows there as well. Great. Yeah, as well as a bunch of the people who make the shows. So you can find my beautiful mug, as well as Paul Sadings.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that man. He's fun.
Oh, he's wonderful. Yeah, it's it is a Paul Sadings Network. He made it with, you know, a bunch of his friends. And that's how it all got started. And, you know, I heard about it, like, here and there, back when they're first getting started, you know, right around their first big launch. Mm-hmm. And we came on... Yeah, I think we were one of the first shows to join them after they officially launched.
Right.
But yeah, you know, it's given us a huge boost in downloads, and it's really opened us up to, like, another bigger, you know, listener base. You know, it's opened us up to people who listen to Spines, who listen to Rex Riveter, you know, all the other wonderful shows in Fake
Crafters. Yeah, they're all great. I don't think there's a weak link amongst them. So yeah, definitely check them out, definitely. Great. And obviously you're still at university and so on and part of your course, but you know, we all aim to at some point make some money. How are you injecting any finance into this? So you've got the Kickstarter. Do you want to explain a little bit of that and any other ways that you aiming to finance your show?
I go to a university. It was formerly a community college, so it's geared towards folk who work daytime jobs, which I do. Up until about 2 weeks ago, I worked at a little escape room here in Denver.
Scary.
Lock people in a room.
We should do a road trip, and you should all get involved in one of
your escape rooms. It's a bunch of fun. I loved it. And I actually recently just left to take a little bit of the summer off to focus on this Kickstarter. The entirety of season one was all volunteer work and money from my pocket. So that deer noise, I paid $5 for. Worth it. Absolutely worth it. But yeah, so, you know, it's so far it's been very self-funded. And that's because we wanted to put season one out to, you know, show people what we're capable of before we asked for anything in return. And we wanted to say, hey, here's what we have.
Yeah.
Now, that said, season two, it's going to be made one way or another. And it's going to be at least the size of season one, but we want to commit a little more time to it. You know, if I don't have to go back to a day job, if I can, you know, work on it night and day and not ever not work on it, because why would I ever do anything besides
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So that's our goal with season two, is the more time we can put into it, the more time we can, you know, make it bigger and better and make supplementary content like videos and interactive stuff that we can hard work on.
I was going to say, you do aim to do that. So what, on YouTube and other things, sort of expand the audio side of it to more interactive ways of people connecting with the characters and events?
Absolutely. Our big goal with season two, and, you know, this is something we're really testing the waters with and seeing if, you know, it's something that people are interested in. But yeah, our goal is to, you know, we want to make videos to help flesh out the universe. You know, they're something that you don't have to watch. So if you just listen to the audio podcast, you'll still get a full story. You're not going to miss on anything. But if you watch these videos that we make, you know, whether it's like a vlog or like a found footage thing, you know, whatever it might be.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. No commitments. I'm not promising anything yet. but yeah, you know, whatever it is, we want those things to help tell the story. So, you know, we take a great influence from, like, Marble Hornets, which is a popular lost found footage series on YouTube. It's from the creators who made, you know, Slender Man. It's the series about Slender Man.
Don't say his name again. Oh no, that's Candyman. Getting confused.
Yeah. But yeah, so one of the things they did that we really admire is they had a second channel, and that second channel was all videos of a character stalking the people from the primary channel. And that's kind of what we wanted to do. So, you know, it's, if you're getting everything from like that primary channel, you're still getting the full story, but everything else is going to kind of reveal other things. Mm-hmm. So it'll help reveal kind of a bigger plot. It might reveal some of the bigger lore things we have going on in the Lake Clarity universe outside of just Sam's story or Seth's story from season one, you know?
Yeah, and you've got access to all points in time there as well, haven't you? So you could go anywhere in before or after time.
We have such big plans for Lake Clarity.
Yeah.
It's going to get weird and we can't wait. But yeah, you know, to fund all that, like you mentioned, yeah, we are going to Kickstarter. We have a goal of $5,000 as we aim to cover a lot of stuff. You know, but the biggest part of that is one thing we didn't get a chance to do in season one and that we really want to do for season two is we want to compensate everyone who's a part of it. So, you know, all of our actors, like I said, very graciously volunteered.
Then you should. Actors are so lovely. They do give a lot of their time.
Yeah, you know, they all volunteered their time for, you know, the promise that we might get like 10 likes on Facebook. Obviously, we got a bunch more, which is great. But, you know, when we first started, I was like, I can offer all of you absolutely nothing. Please help me make this. And they did. And, you know, I want to reward them and compensate them for their hard work and their time, as well as the bigger and, you know, crazier cast that we'll have for season two. You know, we want to reward them for dedicating their time to, you know, our project.
Good. And I think that's the way a lot of people are thinking at the minute. And it is that thing, you can hear it in people's pained voices about how they can't currently pay but want to. And I think that's where a lot of people are at that stage, aren't they? And I mean, do you Patreon as well? Is that an avenue you were going to look
at? Currently, we do not. It is something we've talked about doing in the near future. Not so much for Lake Clarity, but probably for our production company, Midnight Disease Productions.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Cool.
But yeah, so that'll be for our team as a whole, and that will kind of trickle towards other shows that we're working on outside of Lake Clarity.
Super. So there's lots of plans afoot.
Oh, we have some really cool things. I can't quite talk about them. No, but
could not even one exclusive for audio production. Come on.
Yeah, sure. I can give you two tidbits. So
awesome.
Vin Ernst, they were one of the actors for season one. They portrayed Aaron, a very sassy character.
Yes, also, I love a bit of sass.
So they are planning on helping us create a new, totally new show aside from Lake Clarity. And that's something that we'll be working on and gearing towards this semester after we finish recording Lake Clarity and starting like next year, like February-ish is when you might start hearing about that.
Cool.
Very tentative.
You heard it here first. But
yeah, you heard it here first. We are producing a second non-Lake Clarity show and we're also doing something else in December. But that'll come sooner, so I'm not going to tell you about it now.
Oh, won't tell us all. No, very exciting. I'm really glad because I think, you know, creativity breeds creativity and you can only get more exciting with every new thing. So, yeah, no, good luck with those. I can't wait to hear
absolutely
what happens. And in regards to future audio producers that, you know, will potentially look up to you for kicking off and starting and producing such a fab podcast, what kind of top tips can you give to people wanting to get into this business?
This is going to sound weird, but the best thing you can do for your show is to work on other people's show. So, you know, like I said, I really got my start before I actually came back and wrote season one of Lake Clarity. I wrote, you know, for Travis's Tales from the Tower. And
I think thanks for coming for you.
I live in a bad part of town, you know. Help fund my Kickstarter, get me out. No, I'm kidding.
We'll save you. Business.
Of course. But yeah, so, you know, the best thing you can do for your show is work on other people's show. So, like I said, we got to start with Travis and working on Tales from the Tower. We got a chance to work with John Grills on Creepy, which has been a blast.
If you haven't heard that, where have you been? Yes.
I highly recommend it.
I think I spoke three words very silently on Travis's version of that, I think.
Oh, yeah, you did. But yeah, you know, Creepy, it's John Grills from Small Town Horror. It's his new podcast. You know, it's Creepypastas, and it's a wonderful anthology. Mm-hmm. I love it so much. I've made, like, 8 episodes so far, and I'm planning on making more because it's just a blast. Now, on one hand, it's a great time for me to, like, practice and learn how to edit more between seasons so that I don't, like, have 4 months where I'm just not touching Audition. Now, I'm doing the same for Travis. I'm producing a few, guest producing an episode here and there, just to kind of keep my skills in check and, you know, venture into some new stuff. I've never done sci-fi before, so that's a bunch of fun.
Can I just interject as well? So how much interaction do you get with those guys when you're working with them? Kind of, you say you've kind of got, you know, that experience, but what does that experience entail?
So, you know, with John and Travis, they're both actually pretty hands-off. And I've also worked with Alexander and Yuri and Nicole from the Alexandria Archives. So I've gone and worked with, you know, these three wonderful, wonderful people and teams and whatnot. And, you know, they've all been very hands-off. You know, it's, hey, this is in your hands now, and it's your responsibility. And I say, awesome.
Let me at it.
I don't want to give away any trade secrets. But yeah, you know, for John, he would, you know, record the scripts and then ship them out to either me or whoever else is guest producing for that week. We'll edit them and then send them back. If there's ever any tweaks or anything, you know, he'll let us know and, you know, tweak it as need be. But, you know, for the most part, he takes a more hands-off approach, letting the producers really kind of take control of that episode to let their style and their, you know, creativity show. You know, for Travis, basically the same thing. You know, he, at least what I've done with him, I can't talk to anyone else's experience, but, you know, I produced an episode and then sent it to him, and he is, you know, filling in whatever additional things that he feels should be there and whatnot. So I'm really excited to see, like, how it came out, because I'm not only going to see my takes and ideas on things, but I also get to see his takes and ideas and, you know, what might have changed and what stayed the same and whatnot. And, you know, for me, that's a blast, because I like collaboration. I think it makes shows better. So yeah, I'm excited to see, like, what they come out with.
Isn't that exciting, though? That's just how it should be, and I think that's brilliant that you get that kind of hands-on, just
absolutely
experience. I mean, other than that, what would you say is the most valuable thing you've learned by doing
it? Yeah, like, again, aside from just the practice editing, you know, they do come back and they return the favor. You know, we've had numerous shout-outs on Creepy. You know, Travis always gives us a bunch of love from Liberty, and same from, you know, the Alexandria Archives. They come back and, you know, help us out. And same for What's the Frequency? You know, we, James and I, both scored some roles in it. James Brunt, he played Brandon in season one of Lake Clarity. We sat in the studio, did, what, maybe 3-4 hours tops of, like, recording just all of our lines. And, you know, it's going to be in the show, and it's, you know, helping other creators, they'll help you back, you know.
I think that's great. Yeah, it is very much that sharing, caring community.
Absolutely. Aside from that, you know, do, you know, this is more in line with that, but yeah, do as much as you can, you know, outside of those four shows that I've got to be a part of. You know, I'm also chatting with, you know, one person over here and, like, helping him develop his story and saying, hey, that's a really cool idea. Or, you know, proofreading scripts over here, you know, just being as part of the community as I can, whether it's just reading stuff, proofreading, editing, writing, producing, you know, just have fun. Have fun and do stuff that you enjoy.
Hooray! That's such a good motto. Yeah. Everybody should have that tattooed across them somewhere. And obviously with that collaborative effort as well, there's so many vibrant things happening in the communities that, yeah, it's a definite thing we need to share. Yeah, cool. So what are your ambitions then? So what are you personally aiming to do with this amazing talent that you've got? Come on, let's hear it here first. We'll interview you in 5 years and see what happens. But no, what would you love to be doing?
Finish junior year. That's my next big goal. you know, that's a great question. When I first started doing stuff, it was It was videos. I made little terrible, scary short films with friends.
Superb. Give us a link. We'll put it on the show notes.
No. Never. That's a box that's going to be kept buried deep below the earth. But yeah, so I made a bunch of terrible videos with friends. And, you know, at one point I wanted to make a video game too. And I still want to make a video game very much.
Exciting.
And
I've been
doing some lessons. You know, I'm in some summer courses right now for, like, film studies and whatever. But I've been doing some, like, lessons on the side, you know, YouTube tutorials and all to learn how to use, like, you know, Unity and Unity is the big game engine I'm using. But, you know, some Unity, some Game Maker, you know, just learning how to make a game in case I ever do that.
Exciting. As if you haven't got enough to do. Yeah, that does sound very exciting.
Yeah, you know, in my free time, wherever I find it, you know, I'm coding a game. I have a great little...
Between 2 and 4 a.m., yes.
Yeah. I have a great little, like, endless runner side-scroller game right now. It'll probably never see the light of day, but I love it, and it is mine.
Well, you know, that's the equivalent of your first draft of a play or something, isn't it? That one
exactly,
that you want to work on just to learn and maybe play with and, launch into the next phase. No, it all sounds very exciting.
Yeah, good. I mean, yeah, ultimately my goal is just tell stories, you know, in as many ways as possible. I'd love to, you know, in the future make a TV show and a movie. I really want to make a video game because that'd be amazing. Yeah. I think it's a great pinnacle of, you know, acting and art and programming. You know, it takes a lot of the best things of everything and
so we're gonna
mashes
have a late,
them into one.
Late Clarity app with gaming involved, yes? Is that our name?
I'm hoping for it. We'll see. Maybe in the far future we'll have a little game.
Exciting.
We'll see what comes of it. But yeah, you know, just keep telling stories. Maybe eventually get paid for it.
Yes. I sincerely hope you do because, yeah, I think you've started off crackingly well. And, I do look forward to hearing your next episode's drop. So it's all
definitely
good.
Next September is when episode 1 of season 2 will come out for Lake Clarity.
Superb. I was going to ask you in the next one. So good. So all summer working
all summer.
Very hard on producing that. Grand. And where, if for whatever reason people haven't heard you yet, where can they find links to Lake Clarity and to your work as well?
Great question. We actually just launched a website. It is midnightdisease.net. And there you can see some of the other shows that I've worked on, as well as other shows that my team has worked on. And we also have lakeclarity.com. And there you can go and you can find a link to the entirety of season 1. Or you can also subscribe to us on your podcast provider of choice. We're on iTunes, Google Play Music. We're on Spoke, which is that new app that recently just launched, as well as everything else.
What do you think of that, just out of interest?
I love it. We got invited to it pretty early on in production, so we got to test out some of the stuff before it was publicly announced. And you know, it's wonderful to see them just keep improving and building on the platform and making it really awesome. You know, I'm really excited to see, you know, how it will finally turn out and come out, because it's already off to a really
great.
Good start. And I love the idea of, like, leaving little voice memos for parts that you liked and enjoyed.
Yeah.
So, you know,
extra interaction, isn't there?
Tool.
Yeah, which looks really interesting. That's
exactly.
What we need. We need more feedback, more people talking to each other after the event rather than just likes, I feel. That would spur.
Absolutely.
Because what motivates you to do these currently?
It's always the fans, you know. I want to tell a story, whatever, but no, like... episode like 2 or 3, we got our first piece of fan art and it was amazing. And it was just, it was just this,
winners.
You know, this,
yeah.
You know, it's just this person on Tumblr and they just, they drew Allie and Mr. Sanchez and it made me like want to cry up. It was so cool. same. We had like another awesome Tumblr blogger person make us a gift set and it's just so cool to see how other people will take like our stuff and make their own things, you know. And I honestly, yes, that's what drives us, you know, just knowing that we put this out there and that people listen and they enjoy it and it inspires them to create their own stuff, whether it's art or maybe if they go make their own podcast or whatever, you know, it's so rewarding, yes, to know that you inspire other people.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, there's a lot of room for that in as much as, yes, you do get that interaction from fans, don't you? And when that happens, it's sort of, it becomes a cycle of like, well, they're saying good things, so I'm going to make more for them.
Exactly.
And do you have any parting advice on why someone should start a podcast? If they've got an idea, if they haven't quite fleshed out the characters or the scenario, if they've got this idea that they kind of want to do, what kind of advice do you have for them to get cracking?
Just, you know, go for it. Sin. You know, just do it. I have a microphone in a closet and I record stuff all of the time. Any lines that I record for other podcasts, 99% chance they were recorded in my closet. And it doesn't have to be a good one. Your iPhone has a great microphone, surprisingly. You know, so whatever it is you want to do, do it. And the reason podcasts are a great place to do it is, you know, honestly, they're pretty cheap to make and get out there. You know, it is money. Don't get me wrong. It costs. Mm. But it doesn't cost as much as buying a $400 or a $500 camera. Mm. And it doesn't cost as much as, you know, buying a $50 lighting rig and
or a trip to the cinema days is actually rather extortionate, isn't it?
You
get all the popcorn.
You know, I bring up cameras and lighting equipment because I have a bunch of it under my bed gathering dust, and that was a lot of money. But yeah, you know, it's a very easy format to get in, and there's so much you can do with it. You know, I saw a wonderful post, I think it was from Starship Iris, I'm not sure. But, you know, it was a guy in a box with a blanket and a microphone recording his lines. And that's how he made it sound like he was on a spaceship. And that's incredible. You know, and for all the resources out there, you know, if you can get a microphone, you can go to freesound.org and you can make an episode. My entire first episode of Lit Clarity was solely public domain audio. You know, some of it attribution 3.0. So we link it in our on our blogs and whatnot. You know, there's so much you can do with it. If you have a script and you have an hour and you have a few friends who are glad to volunteer their time, you can make a show with 50,000 downloads, because that's what I did.
Yes. Well, amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So go find some friends. If you don't have any.
Step one, find friends.
They're everywhere. They'll be in parks, in cabins in the wood, or maybe not.
Well, yeah, you know,
actually.
But whatever. But yeah, you know, it's fun, it's easy, and I'm perhaps biased, but everyone I've met in the audio drama community is just incredible. There's not one person that I can't say without like 100% certainty that I know of. That I like love with all my heart. Like, you know, these are people who are so passionate and so welcoming. You know, I mean, hell. If you want to make a podcast and you don't know how to do it, drop me a line and I'll help you make one.
That's just amazing. Yes. So you're going to be inundated with over 50,000 people.
Absolutely.
Now going, right, I've got this idea.
I will respond to each and every one of them. It might take a while, but I will do it. You know, it's just, it's a blast. And, you know, if you haven't done it, please do. You know, it'll help you make a resume. You know, I've gotten jobs because of Lit Clarity. I'm about to start a new gig later in the near future because I have social media promotion skills and, you know, just all these wonderful, wonderful things. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll get your foot out in the door. You'll be a part of a great community. There's no downside.
Exactly. What are you waiting for? Quick, stop listening to this and go make something.
Exactly.
So, super, it's been absolutely brilliant talking to you, Pacific. So, thank you for giving up your time. And I hope that all the people that are inspired by all the things you said today contact you and us to say how amazing you are. But happy creating from the audio drama production team. And
thank you.
We look forward to all of your next adventures. Keep on working.
You.
Crack that whip.
I will. Thanks a ton for taking the time to interview me. It's been a blast.